She's crying again. I don't know why I say again. Sometimes it seems as if she's done nothing but cry since she was born. As if she'd come into this world with a grudge. We're almost there, sweetie, I call to her in the backseat. But she only cries louder, as if she can recognize my reassurance for the lie it is. The truth is, I don't know where we are or how far we are from our destination. The last time I looked at the map app on the new, cheap, pay-as-you-go phone, it showed our location as a blue dot in a sea of endless green, as if we'd fallen off the map of the known world. When we crossed the river, there was a sign that said, "Welcome to the land of Rip Van Winkle." I feel as if I've fallen asleep and woken to an unrecognizable world. Only who sleeps with a crying 6-month-old? "Do you want your baba?" I offer, even though she just finished a bottle half an hour ago. I root around in the diaper bag on the passenger seat, but find only an empty bottle. Hadn't I made up two at the last gas station? Or had I been distracted by the woman in pressed corduroy trousers and Burberry jacket who'd eyed me microwaving a bottle with that, "Why aren't you breastfeeding? Don't you know bottles will rot your baby's teeth and lower her IQ?" look? She was holding the hand of a toddler who had an iPhone in his other hand, his eyes glued to the screen. "At least it won't rot her brain," I had it in mind to say, but instead out popped, "Isn't it hard traveling with kids? We've been driving for hours. My husband's away on business, and I'm relocating for a new job." Burberry Jacket eyed me up and down as if she didn't think I looked very employable. In my ratty old sweatshirt, grimy jeans, greasy hair pulled back in a sloppy bun, I suppose I didn't. I should have left it at that, but I had to add, "As an archivist at a private library." Her eyes widened, either because she was impressed or thought I was crazy. The latter, most likely, from the way she clutched her electronics besotted son closer to her. Archivist. How stupid could I get? She'd remember me. When she saw my picture in the paper, "It won't be in the paper," I told myself for the 107th time, I'd been counting, since we'd left. I'd made sure of that. I drove away from the gas station, repeating all the reasons I didn't have to worry. I ditched my old phone and bought a new one with cash. I didn't tell anyone except Laurel about the job, and Laurel won't tell. I haven't passed a car in the last 50 miles. I'm in the middle of nowhere, just me and a crying baby. She stopped screaming. I'm not sure how long it's been since she stopped. Since Chloe was born, I sometimes lose little bits of time like that. Mommy brain, Esta, the leader of the mother support group, called it. It's a hormonal thing. I angle the rearview mirror to see Chloe's face, but the car is so dark I can't see her at all. I don't know how to find the dome light, and there are no streetlights on this country road to illuminate the interior. It's so dark and quiet in the car, it's almost as if she isn't there. Of course she's there. Don't be ridiculous, I tell myself. But already I can feel the thought taking root in my brain. Bad thoughts, my mother would say, stick like burrs. You need something to make them go away. A couple or 6 shots of whiskey is what she used. Sometimes when she got home late from her job at the bar, I'd hear her muttering to herself, "Leave it," like her brain was a dog who'd picked up a piece of garbage on the street. "Leave it," I'd tell myself on all the sleepless nights I lay awake imagining that Chloe had stopped breathing or that she had been stolen out of her crib. "If you keep going into her room, Daphne," Peter would say, "she'll never learn to sleep on her own." "Leave it," I say now. "She's in the car seat. She's just sleeping." But I can't leave it.